anything.
I mean, which one do you want to
start? I'm on the battlefield. Good morning, First Baptist.
Good morning.
It is now time for us to sing our congregational hymn, I Am on the Battlefield. We will be singing it a cappella. Amen. Ushers, if there's anyone in the foyer, can you allow them to be seated at this time before we get started? We're done? Okay. So if you would like to stand, and I will give you the words. It's not that hard. And we're going to start with the chorus first. I am on the battlefield for my Lord. I am on the battlefield for my Lord. And I promised him that I will serve him
till I die.
And
I'm on the battlefield for my Lord.
Verse 1, I was alone and idle.
I was a sinner too.
I heard a voice from heaven. Saying there is word.
I took the master's hand.
And I joined the Christian band. Verse 2, I left my friends and kindred, bound for the promised land.
The grace of God upon me, the Bible in my hand.
In distant lands I trod. Crying sinner come to God. Cause I'm on
the battlefield
for my Lord. I am on the battlefield. I am on the battlefield for my Lord. I am on the battlefield for my Lord. And I promise him that I
will serve him till I die.
I'm on the battlefield
for my Lord.
Verse 3, Now when I met my Savior,
I met him with a smile.
He healed my wounded spirit. And owned me as his child.
Around the throne of grace,
He appoints my soul a place.
Cause
I'm on
the battlefield for my Lord.
I'm on the battlefield. I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. promise him that I,
and I promise him that
I would serve him.
I would serve him till I die.
'Cause I'm on. Next selection will be Oh How I Love Jesus. Oh how I love
Jesus.
Oh, oh. Verse 1, there is a name I love to hear.
There is a name I love to hear.
I love to sing its words.
I love to sing its words.
It sounds like music in my ear. The sweetest name on earth. I love Jesus.
Oh, how I love Jesus.
Oh,
oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus.
Because he first loved me.
Because he first loved me.
Verse 2, it tells me of a Savior's love.
It tells me of a Savior
who died to set me free.
Who died to set me free.
It tells me of his precious blood.
Tells me of
his precious
the
sinner's
blood.
Perfect plea. Oh, how I love Jesus.
Oh.
First love me.
Verse
3, it tells me what my Father is.
It tells me what
my Father in store for every day.
For every day.
And though I tread a darksome path,
I tread a darksome path.
Yield sunshine all the way. Oh, how I love Jesus.
Oh, oh how I love Jesus.
Oh, how I love Jesus.
Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh,
how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me.
Because he first.
Oh, how I love Jesus.
Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me.
Amen.
Good morning to you all. This is the day that the Lord has made. Recognize it. Be glad and rejoice in it. Gracious and merciful Father, we thank you for allowing us to come before your presence. We just thank you, dear Lord, for the work that you're doing in our lives. We pray now for the presence of the Holy Spirit, dear Lord, that he would come and speak and perform and do and teach all that he is and all that he means for in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Our scripture reading this morning comes from Luke, the 5th chapter, the 1st through the 5th verse. And it reads, "Now it occurred," and I'll be reading from the Amplified Version. "Now it occurred that while the people pressed upon Jesus to hear the message of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, or the Sea of Galilee. And he saw two boats drawn up by the lake, but the fishermen had gone down from them and were washing their nets. And getting into one of the boats, one that belonged to Simon Peter, he requested him to draw away a little from the shore. Then he sat down and continued to teach the crowd of people from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon Peter, 'Put out into the deep water and lower your nets.' And Simon Peter answered, 'Master, we toiled all night exhaustingly and caught nothing in our nets. But on the ground of your word, I will lower the nets again.'" And I deem from that scripture, and if I could, and it's not going to be a sermon coming from me, but I deem from that, obey anyway. Just think about it. Obey anyway. Recognize that God's ways are not your ways, which means he probably wants to lead you in a different way. Isaiah, the 55th chapter, it reads, "Thus the Lord keep justice." Here, let me find my page here. You don't add to scripture, you read scripture. Meditate on scripture. So the word is working with me. But the 55th chapter, verses 8 and 9 says, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways than your ways, and my thoughts, your thoughts." God's plans will always confound you to your own understanding. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, "Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him." The scripture goes back, and when it speaks of Peter fishing all night and caught nothing, and Jesus instructed him to go back on the Sea of Galilee, he was reticent, or refusing to, or thinking about not doing it. Those were not his real thought, but he didn't see the sense in it. So that was from Peter's human perspective. But Peter obeyed God anyway. The conclusion, sometime for you, when we submit our reluctance to obey God, we get nothing but disappointments. But when we submit our will and obey him anyway, God has miraculous miracles that await us. God's word for God's people. On the night that our Savior was betrayed before going to Calvary, he sat in the upper room with his disciples, and when he had taken bread and blessed it, he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Let us eat together." And in a like manner, when he had taken the cup and blessed the cup, saying, this is the cup in the New Testament. For as often as you drink this, you show forth my death, burial, and resurrection until I come again. Let us drink together.
Amen.
Amen. Put your hands together for the sacrifice of our Lord. Ushers, if there are those in the vestibule, you may allow them in this time. As we prepare to partake of another opportunity to approach the throne of grace with praise and thanksgiving, God has been good to each and every one of us. Or maybe I shouldn't be speaking for you and only myself. God's been good to me. And oftentimes when I come up here, nerves and fear, whatever it is, it's nothing but the demon, the Satan trying to do and take your concentration off of whom is praiseworthy. But when you stop thinking about your effectiveness and realize that it's not about you, but it's all about God, then you don't put any undue pressures on yourself about how good you're going to perform. God doesn't want a performance. He wants you. So right now, if you will, the invitation is extended. Just join me in prayer as we pray and uplift our Heavenly Father for all he continues to do and all he continues to be in our lives. You know for yourself, you have your personal testimonies, and only you know what you stand in need of. But my God is able to supply all of your needs. He's able to grant you the peace from the confusion that surpasses all of understanding. He has proven to be the doctor and physicians when you've been in need of one. Don't give all the credit to the doctors. Give all the credit to him. The doctors work in his timetable. Your illness may last a minute, a day, a month, but God sets a timetable on it. And through that, God is gracious and merciful and kind, and he will strengthen you, for his grace is sufficient. My strength and your strength run out, but God's grace is sufficient. Gracious and merciful Father, we thank you for who you are in our lives. Lord, words often cannot express our gratitude. But you are worthy to receive all praise, honor, and glory. We thank you, Heavenly Master, for being attentive to all the things that we seem to stand in need of. Lord, you have knowledge of them before they even exist. So we thank you, Father, that according to your purpose and merciful plan for our lives, you've already got it worked out. Thank you, dear Lord, for continuing to nurture and cultivate the fruits of your spirit in our lives. Patience, perseverance, and above all, love for one another. Thank you, Father, for yet doing what only you can do. For, dear Lord, we continue to be a work in progress. So, Lord, we ask you that you would accept our praise, dear Lord, and our gratitude of thanks for all that you are doing and all that you continue to do. Allow your word to continue to be manifest in our lives, dear Lord, just allowing us to have strength and power and victory until we are able to be, dear Lord, unified in the body, in the bond of peace. We pray and give thanks for these and all blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father God, we come thanking you, Lord, for another opportunity to worship in this, your house. We ask that you be praised, glorified, magnified in and through us and on this day. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Now, I don't know about y'all, but, you know, it's been a minute since we all sang a cappella. And I have to say, y'all were sounding pretty good. Yeah, so y'all really don't need music, huh? I heard the hands clapping, the feet tapping. That was some serious old school. All right, look, y'all pat yourselves on the back for that when y'all did a good job. Good job. Amen. All right, for our brief conversation, I don't know why I say that all the time. For our brief conversation this morning, I know I need you to turn to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. When you're there, say, I'm there. And if you need me to hold on a second, say, hold on a second. All right. We're going to wait for you. Now, whoever said, hold on. Hebrews 11, 1. Yeah, whoever said, hold on, let me know when you're there, okay? Because, you know, we'll be holding on for the next 10 minutes. Cause just because we want to make sure everybody's there, that's all. Okay, we're there? All right. So, the first version is just simply going to be from the contemporary English version, and I'll read this, and it says, faith makes us sure of what we hope for and gives us proof of what we cannot see. So the Amplified version, which I'm sure you all have up, right? It says, now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality, faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. The word of God for the people of God.
Amen.
Faith defined means subjectively taking place in one's mind, is a firm persuasion, conviction, belief in the truth and reality. Objectively, that which exists, it means that which is believed, doctrine, dogma, or principle. Faith is a gift from God. We can do nothing, nothing, no thing, nada, to achieve it. It means that our persuasion is not the outcome of our imagination, but based on fact, like the reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Faith is the basis of realistic hope. Through faith, we receive salvation, justification, forgiveness of sin, adoption into God's family. Through faith, we receive protection and power, reconciliation and sanctification, and most importantly, a new life in Christ. Faith is not imagining that something is true. Faith sees through the lens of God's promises and knows it's true. The Apostle Paul said, "We walk by faith and not by sight." We don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on the things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. And that's what it tells us in 2 Corinthians 4:18. When the world seems to be falling apart, our faith stands secure in the solid rock, trustworthy promises of God and His Word. So, just because we got a little time this morning, y'all going, okay, where are we going with this one? We're going to look at a few biblical examples of faith. Let's start with Noah, one of my favorite biblical characters. Yeah, Noah was told it was going to rain. Yeah, now I don't know about y'all, but it was clear that Noah had to be a man of faith, because why would that brother be out there building a boat for a flood? Not just some rain, it was supposed to flood, and it seemed like it wasn't ever going to happen. Now, from what I read, they cannot definitively state how many years it took for Noah to build this boat or the ark, but it did say that it could be about 120. Now y'all may have a clear picture of why Noah had to be a man of faith. Okay. Now, Noah's rep wasn't real good either. See, because Noah was known to have a few adult beverages every now and then. Yeah, I'm just saying. Now that right there, that right there could mess a few of us up. Yeah, just a few of us. Yeah, cause you to be suspect about what that brother had heard from God. Here we have a man that could possibly be toe down from the flow down. And we're supposed to be listening to him. Well, walking in faith for Noah truly may have looked like he wasn't quite right in the head. But you know what? Sometimes that's what faith looks like. Faith is to act on what is true. And the truth is being what God said. In Noah's case, his hope and trust in God was what moved him and motivated him to continue. Now let's look at another biblical character. This is Jochebed, the mother of Moses. During this time in Egypt, the Hebrew people were violently oppressed. The Egyptians were ruthless in their jobs that they imposed upon them. However, the Egyptians feared there would come a day when the Hebrews would rise up against them and escape. Pharaoh, worried about their liberation, yeah, he was scared, ordered every baby boy born to the Hebrews to be killed because he did not want there to be anyone among them who might grow up to lead this uprising. It is into this political arena Moses was born. Moses was born a Hebrew from the house of Levi to a woman who, as it says, possessed considerable strength and resourcefulness and was God-fearing. She hid her son for 3 months from the day he was born, desperate to prolong his life, then put him in a small basket and placed it by the reeds on the bank of the Nile River. Moses was placed in a basket where, if it was during the spring, that the river could have flooded and he could have been washed away. And then there was also the threat of animals. Y'all know that? And along these banks, these animals could have killed him. And there was this crocodile that they call the Nile crocodile that could potentially be over 4 yards long. Yeah. But rather than leave her child at the mercy of the authorities who would surely kill him, Moses' mother stepped out on faith and believe that God would not have given her this son to take him away. Faith being a hope that is sure and certain and unwavering. Faith looks like Abraham leaving on a journey with an unknown destination. Y'all know y'all wouldn't go. Somebody better tell me something about where I'm going. But God said it, and he did it. Yeah. Trusting God, listen, trusting God's directions and instructions. Yeah, it also looks like Abraham taking Isaac, his son, to be sacrificed. Believing that if God allowed him to be sacrificed, his son, that he would raise him from the dead. Faith looks like Rahab welcoming the spies into her home, hoping to save her family when the walls of Jericho came down and the Israelites captured the city, having an understanding that being faithful to God was more important than being faithful to her country. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Ananias, a disciple at Damascus, had a vision that he was to go and bless Saul, the man who took pride in torturing and slandering and killing those who were chosen to follow Jesus. Yeah, y'all ain't going. Concerned, yeah, he probably was a little scared that he could potentially lose his life when he went and laid hands on that brother. And then when he did, Saul was changed to Paul. And that same one, that same man that was out killing folk is the same one that became and has become a magnificent preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Ananias had to exercise his faith in Jesus Christ that he would not die. The promise of protection from danger seen and unseen. Faith is holding on to hope, belief, and trust when logically it doesn't make sense. The Word of God tells us that there is an author and a finisher of our faith, and that is Jesus Christ. The Bible also tells us that faith comes by hearing the good news of the gospel. And as regenerated saints of the Most High God, we have all been given treasure of faith. We are told that in Romans 12 and 3, it says, "For the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think more highly of yourself than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you." Faith allowed Job to say, "Though he, my enemies, may slay me, yet will I hope in him." The Holy Spirit allowed Paul to pen to Timothy words to encourage him in the faith. "I know whom I have believed or have faith in, and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day." Question: has your faith ever swayed? Have you had some things that rocked your faith? Has there been a time when you weren't so sure you could hold on to your faith? When your faith really, really, really was looking like a mustard seed next to the boulder of adversity staring you in the face? Then there's a word. There's a word. When the enemy is allowed to attack and turns you every which way but loose, you can take up your shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. When the circumstances of life seem impossible to overcome, when life challenges give the appearance of destruction, I admonish you, my brothers and sisters, to pick up the syringe of faith and inject in your spirit that he shall give his angels charge over me to keep me in all my ways. When the time comes, and it will, and you don't know who or where to turn, I tell you today to flex your muscles of faith and say, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely, hey, surely he shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence." We, as believers, we are called to look at all situations and circumstances through the eyes of faith. Yes. Having an undeniable hope and trust and belief in God, the Father, and Jesus Christ, his Son, and in the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Moving with confidence in the hope that has been given us through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We walk by faith, not by sight, should be the banner of the believer. Now, you want to make a bumper sticker? There you go. Today, my brothers and sisters, simply hold on to your faith. Yes. This is what is expected of us as believers. The Bible tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Do you want to please him? trust and know that he will be and always has been faithful to you. Know that, if he's calling you to it, to step out in it, trust that he has given you everything you need. Not some things. He's not working on it. He's not working up on it. He doesn't have to create it. He has given it to you. You have everything you need to step out on and accomplish what God has called you to. To have faith is to be sure, certain, absolutely positive of the things we hope for, and to be certain of the things that we cannot see. Amen and amen. Bow your heads with me. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, we would now like to give the opportunity for someone to join the body of Christ. You can do so right where you are seated. All you need to do is say, "I believe that Jesus died and God raised him 3 days later. And Lord, I just want to give my life to you," and then ask the Holy Spirit to come in and reign in your life. And if you've done that, welcome to the body of Christ. If the Holy Spirit is leading you to this congregation, there are cards in the back of the pews where you are sitting that you can complete. Place in the box that is in the foyer, and there will be saints that will contact you, and we will welcome you to this fellowship. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling, to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Let every saint of the Most High God give him a great big hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Say thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
And amen.
Amen.
You are dismissed. Have a wonderful day in the Lord. Excuse me. One more. I have a reminder. I'm sorry, I did not read this. There was a reminder next Sunday. There was going to be the new member meet and greet that'll be following the combined morning worship service over in Fellowship Hall. Thank you. Now you can go.